Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Friday. We are absolutely packed. This, live in L.A., is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. And 1 hour from now, my blazing 5 picks, 7 weeks, 6 winners, on fire, love my picks. A couple you won't believe, but I love my picks this week. And Joy Taylor is joining me on a night Houston had it and lost it. It must have been painful.
It was one game. It was one game. I'm not going to overreact to it. But I will say, Bucks look good.
Bucks are good.
Yeah.
Let me start with this. If you had a company of 3,000 people, and you had different campuses, you had some of them in Charlotte, some of them in Rhode Island, some in Chicago, some in Phoenix, some in Idaho, you could have 30 bad employees, and they may never meet each other. One bad guy's here, one bad guy's there. But if you had a company of 9 people and they all worked in the same space, one bad egg, one bad relationship blows it up. That's why I've always said in the NBA, chemistry is so crucial in the NBA. Melo, his mere existence, he was an agitator, wouldn't play defense. Chauncey Billups, the ultimate lubricator, not a great player, every team he goes to got better. Harden and Westbrook is going to be problematic. First of all, their styles don't mesh. They don't mesh. They're both ball-centric, high usage, 1 and 2 in the league. The other thing is, when they used to play together, they didn't have all this money. And we all change. Okay? They weren't $500 million, $200 million net worth guys. They weren't 6 homes guys. They weren't MVP guys. They are now guys who are known for scoring, trophies, MVPs, style, fashion. This is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. And chemistry in Houston is not good. Don't listen to anybody. This is an organization that claimed, we're never trading Chris Paul. Those are outrageous rumors. Please. Last night, Harden Westbrook, early on barking. Now, that's just one instance. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't really matter. But the way they lost does. Giannis fouled out. Best defensive player in the league. At home, their offense disintegrated. James Harden, was he overthinking? Didn't have a field goal in the second half. Was he overcompensating? You know, and I know, Harden, off a terrible first game, is going to make sure adamantly he has a great second game. Then Russell Westbrook perhaps overcompensates, backs off. Listen, relationships are really important in the NBA. That's why I've always said one of the great gifts of Magic Johnson, who you just saw in Undisputed, or LeBron, they're great lubricators. LeBron gets along with people. Magic made everybody work. Kareem was kind of prickly, and Magic was fun, and James Worthy was a little of both, and Magic made it all work. Westbrook, everybody that plays with him that leaves gets better. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. But he's an agitator, not a lubricator as a teammate. And Harden, similarly, is not easy. He's an MVP every year. You think he's going to now, off a terrible first game, say, you know what, I got to make this thing work. No, he's going to say, I got to make James Harden work. So I don't think it works. Giannis fouled out, and Houston was still against the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th best player Milwaukee had, couldn't score. Now, Russell Westbrook, and again, they're overcompensating. Westbrook, it's one game, is already getting defensive on the whole Harden-Westbrook thing.
The animation is, because we were talking about something, but don't deep dive too much into it. Like I told you, there's nothing that nobody around the world, media, anybody to be able to get in between what we have, because we had it for so long.
Listen, the reality is they know it's hovering over. They know everybody's talking about it. Why would you get this agitated game one with your best friend? Doesn't that seem a little intense for really good friends? Because they can feel the pressure. And I like Houston. Tillman Fertitta is the owner. I love him. Daryl Morey is the GM. I love him. Here's the reality. When we suggested Melo's not going to work, they told us, it's working. When we suggested Chris Paul needed to be traded, he'll never be traded. They traded him. They're going to protect those two. They got tickets to sell. Houston's a transient sports town. The Texans are good. The Astros are good. They got tickets to sell. They want to make this thing optically work off the NBA China thing that was incredibly rough for the organization. But last night is exactly what I thought. A little ugliness. They're overcompensating. It doesn't work collectively, but individually, Westbrook had some great moments. And in the first half, Harden had some great moments. And they're officially 0-1. Let's move to this. The Vikings beat the Redskins 19-9, and I don't trust Minnesota whatsoever. Not a bit. I don't care they won last night. You know what? I always feel like Kirk Cousins, the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, has a lot in common with scary movies. Environment matters. Like, when I grew up, the scariest movie I saw was Exorcist, and then it was The Shining. If you watch those at night, and it's rainy, and you're by yourself, and you're in a room, and it's just you, it's terrifying. You can't sleep at night. But if you watch The Shining the next day at 1 in the afternoon, with the blinds open, the lights on, with two friends, it's actually funny. You're like, this is screwy. The environment changes how scary The Shining is. It's not that scary at 1 in the afternoon on a sunny day, birds chirping in your door open. But at night, ooh, those twins come around the corner. What in, oh, Lord. It's Kirk Cousins. 1 o'clock, at home, non-playoff team. Oh, he is unbelievable. Here's Johnny. But you play him. Night game like last night, yeah, against the good playoff team, against the real pass rush, and you get it. Here's Kirk. It's last night. Minnesota didn't punt. Washington had to go to a backup quarterback. They were at home, but it wasn't a 1 o'clock start. In the end, 19-9 over awful Washington. Banged up, backup quarterback on the road, fired their coach. All of that Minnesota talent. I mean, again, a great roster? Absolutely. But this is the Minnesota team people have been telling me is a great roster for 3 to 4 years. Find me Minnesota's great win with Kirk Cousins. Find it for me. Oh, they tied Green Bay at Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers was hurt, and they got a gift call on Clay Matthews. I mean, the Saints this year alone with a backup quarterback have 2 impressive wins at Seattle and Dallas. The Carolina with a backup quarterback won at Houston. The Colts with Jacoby Brissett went to Kansas City and beat Patrick Mahomes and then beat the Houston Texans. That's Teddy Bridgewater. That's Jacoby Brissett. That's Kyle Allen. With this roster and these receivers and Delvin Cook, and find me the impressive win. I'm sorry. This team is too environment-based. 1 o'clock. Bad team or facing a backup, or the minute you make this team uncomfortable. Last year, 1-6 against playoff teams. This year, 0 wins against teams over 500. And last night was classic. Primetime game. Everybody's watching. Offense didn't punt up against a backup that had recently fired their coach, and they couldn't put him away until the very end. Couldn't put him away. And I'm going to tell you what this team is. Mike Zimmer is conservative by nature. Kirk Cousins has one bad half, and these guys are going to be more conservative than the Republican convention. They are going to just close it down. You're going to have no offense. And when you're in a conference now where you got Green Bay humming and the Saints with a backup humming and San Francisco humming, New Orleans humming, don't buy it. Dak, Dallas last week humming. I don't buy them. I just don't buy them. Scary movies aren't scary at noon the next day, lights on, no lightning, friends sitting next to you having lunch. They're not. and the Vikings are not scary in primetime games, home or away, out of the 1 o'clock window against a 7-2 team, a 12-4 team. Not scary at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The Clippers just beat LeBron and AD right in the Lakers building, if you will. And last night they opened the Golden State new arena and the Clippers destroyed them. And this is who they are. I know it's a small sample, but it doesn't take a huge sample to figure something out. The Clippers are going to be really, really good. Just think about this. In the NBA now, it's the year of the duo. They have the best player, Kawhi, maybe the best duo, and 3 through 12, not a GM in the league would argue. Clippers have the best 3 through 12 roster. So they got the best player, I believe, Kawhi. They have maybe the best duo, because I do think LeBron and AD are better individual talents, but collectively won't be as good as Paul George and Kawhi. And they have the 3 through 12, and they have a great Hall of Fame coach. Let's just, I know it's hard to embrace. Kawhi's the best player in the game, and he's the most impactful. LeBron's too old, can't play defense. He got tired in game one. Steph's too small, doesn't play defense. Harden's a one-quarter side of the court guy. And I saw Giannis go up against Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs. Stop it already. I saw Giannis marginalized by Kawhi Leonard. He's the best player in the league, and he is the most impactful, and you got to get over it. Now, I understand because of the Clippers' history, which is losing, and because Kawhi is boring, that's not what we're used to. We're used to MJ, who was cool and hip, and the dress and the shoes and the smile and the cheekbones. It was perfect, right? And as Kobe, he's flashy, and Shaq and Magic and Bird, and they all had nicknames, and Kawhi's got a mid-range jumper, and he's really efficient. And he doesn't really need the ball to dominate. And he wears New Balance shoes. And I'm in my 50s and I don't even wear New Balance shoes yet. I get it. I get the Clippers' history is hard to embrace. I get Kawhi is hard to put your arms around. He's the best player. This is the best roster. And I think it's the best duo. Here's your next dynasty. A lot of times dynasties are easy to see. Shaq and Kobe was easy to see. The Lakers had a history of putting in great teams. You could see their talent. You're like, hey, go win a bunch of titles. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Jimmy Johnson, and the Cowboys. The big coach, the big quarterback. He looked like an NFL head coach. He looked like a Hall of Fame quarterback. Emmitt Smith, the defense. And they'd had dynasties before with Roger Staubach. A lot of dynasties you can see coming. Showtime Lakers, Shaq and Kobe. I mean, you could see Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Pat Riley, the architect building it. Chris Bosh comes over. You knew they were going to be really good. You knew when Durant joined Clay and Steph. That's the easy one. This one's harder. Mid-range jumper, New Balance shoes, weird laugh, doesn't need the ball to dominate. This is the best player, probably the best duo, easily the best roster, and one of the best coaches. And I'd argue a top five owner. And I'd argue a top three scouting department. Put your arms around it. Like what you're watching right now, this is... Paul George isn't even playing. Paul George isn't even playing. They didn't have Kawhi last year. They won 48 and gave the Warriors with KD problems. Put your arms around it. This is the next dynasty. They're just called the Clippers. And their star doesn't talk. In a star-driven, flashy league, he's like a dependable 32-mile-a-gallon car that never breaks down. It's just, they're great. They're just going to be great. You're just not used to it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
12 teams make the playoffs. 6 in the AFC, and then 6 in the NFC. And if now I think there are 12 spots available, and I think it's really 15 teams vying for them. What about the Raiders? Come on. They've been outscored by 40 points. They've been blown out 3 times. What about the Bears? If they don't make a move at the trading deadline at quarterback, I don't take them seriously. So the 12 teams, 12 playoff spots, here's the 15 teams I like. In the AFC, New England and Buffalo are for real. Baltimore, then it's Indy, Houston, I buy, and Kansas City. In the NFC, it's you know, in the West, San Francisco, Seattle, the Rams, then the Saints, Carolina, Green Bay, Minnesota, Dallas, and Philadelphia. But you're gonna say, Colin, Philadelphia, Colin, come on. They're my ex. And she poured bleach in my plants. And she cheated on me and ruined my credit. But she looks at me with those sad eyes and says nice things. And you just want to go on one more date, right? Philadelphia's going into Buffalo this week, and they're going to win. They're going to win. I like Philadelphia too much structurally. The owner, the general manager, Howie Roseman, the coach, the quarterback. I like their structure. I do not believe Philadelphia's season is over week eight. I do not believe a Buffalo Bills team whose quarterback has seven TDs and seven picks is going to end their season. I don't believe it. The Bills have beaten the Jets. They've beaten the Giants. They've beaten Miami. They've beaten Cincinnati. They've beaten Tennessee. This is easily the best team they've faced. Now, I will say this. I love Greg Cosell, and Greg Cosell never does this, and he ripped them yesterday.
Here's what the Eagles are. It's a team that is among the slowest in the league on offense. They have no speed at the receiver position. On defense, they cannot rush the quarterback, and they cannot cover. So now what happens is it's, Carson, you go fix it. And the thing is, Wentz is a certain kind of player. He's not a pinpoint Drew Brees, bang, 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 you know, hit 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, and just march down the field. So therefore, they're very limited offensively. So if he misses one, and he'll miss a few because that's the kind of quarterback he is, becomes magnified as, oh, he missed a throw. He's not very good.
I can't sell this stock yet. I'm giving them one more Sunday. Philadelphia is going to go in there and win. And I think they have a chance to win impressively. Every week in this league, there is a game, and we go, what the hell? This is going to be the what the hell game. They got humiliated by the Cowboys. It's one of those big national TV games, and everybody now is selling all their stock. And then they go, Minnesota, they get embarrassed. And Dallas, they get embarrassed. And I hear about the locker room stuff. But when I like the structure of a company, it's hard for me to move off it. That's just why. If I like the owner, the GM, the coach, and the quarterback, I can overlook a lot. It's almost like, I don't know how women think. But I'll tell you, when I used to be, you know, when I met my wife, there was a lot of structure. She had good kids. She came from a good family. She was nice. I thought she was bright. And the structure, I was like, I like that. Yeah, you can be this and you can be that, but I'm a structure person. And if you don't have structure and your life is chaotic and it's mayhem, I don't care where you went to college. I don't care how perfect your cheekbones are. I don't care. At some point, you'll unravel. Philadelphia. Maybe they're going to unravel this weekend. Orlando Scandrick's going to be our show next hour. And he says, I've heard a lot of this stuff in the locker room. I've heard it. But I've heard it before in Philadelphia. It's a chip on your shoulder town. It's kind of a loud verbal town. Guys talk a lot of trash. The structure is too good to bail. I know that she ruined my credit. I know that she didn't get along with any of my friends. I know it. But there's something there with Philadelphia. They're going to go into Buffalo, and they're going to win convincingly.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This was a game I did not put in the Blazing Five. It's on my Saturday podcast with RJ Bell. It'll be our bonus pick. There's a game every week that I just sit on and sit on and sit on. And then Thursday night, Saturday, Friday morning, I get up and I'm like, okay, I can't do it. It's the Cleveland getting a bunch of points against New England. And I, all week long, I thought, okay, short week Patriots, off a bye Cleveland. Cleveland's going to be good. And then Baker started ripping the refs from 2 weeks ago, and OBJ started making Tom Brady goat shoes, and then Jarvis Landry talks about guaranteeing we win. And I thought, oh, God, can they? Here's the thing about Cleveland. I was pretty hard on Baker Mayfield the other day. Maybe I was too hard. I called him a goof. Maybe that's too much, right? I'm old. He's a young kid. But Cleveland, just admit this. You are becoming exactly, forget me, forget, take me out of it. You're becoming exactly what everybody predicted. Talented, fun to watch, fun to talk about, but young, cocky, can't shut up. You're playing New England. This is the best defense historically ever. I got Baker ripping refs. I got OBJ talking about his love for Brady. And I think Jarvis Landry's a good kid, but he probably should have just said, next question. New England has given this league a blueprint. Never, ever talk about stuff that happened yesterday. Ever. Just don't. And if you ever do anything to talk about an opponent, say how great they are. You know, this week, Belichick's like, Myles Garrett, unblockable. Wish we didn't have to play him. What's amazing about Cleveland, and I am shocked by the number of, forget fans, media people that bought into this. It's really remarkable. Just say this out loud. Recently fired GM with a lot of bravado. Cocky second-year quarterback with a lot of bravado. Superstar wide receiver who acknowledges he lives in Hollywood and wanted to play with Brady, comes to Cleveland. The youngest roster in the NFL and a rookie head coach who's never been hired as a coordinator by a team. Did that sound like a 12-4 football team? Here's what we know about football. Coaching is huge. It's huge. Like in Major League Baseball, I was just reading a story yesterday. They're freaking out in New York. Why didn't the Mets hire Joe Girardi? What's it matter? The front office gives the manager the lineup. A great manager wins you 5 games a year. There's 162. In the NBA, Brad Stevens is a fine coach. If the star doesn't like you, the season goes sideways. Football is the coaching sport. And you gave a position coach the head coaching job of the youngest, loudest, most dysfunctional organization for 25 years in the league. And I will say this about Freddie Kitchens. I like him. I think he is a little over his skis, but like all of us in life, he took a job he's not quite ready for. When I first took a syndicated radio job, you know, like 15 years ago, first 6 months, I wasn't quite ready for it. I'd never done it before. I'd never done it. I was bailing a lot of water for about 6 weeks to 6 months. Then you're like, okay, I get the tempo of it. I get all the nonsense you have to deal with. I get all the affiliate stuff, the sales stuff, the bosses stuff, the topics I shouldn't talk about. He's learning on the job. Not a great time to face Bill Belichick. But this is all incredibly predictable. By the way, Baltimore similarly has a very young quarterback who's not cocky, and a GM who's not cocky, and a coach that's experienced. Shocking. They lead the division. And don't say a word game to game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Orlando Scandrick has played in the NFL for 12 years. He was on that Kansas City team against New England last year. He was on the Cowboys for years. He was on the Philadelphia Eagles, a team I like structurally, but I can't get my arms around what the hell's wrong with the Eagles this year. I've been wrong on them all year. He was just released by the Eagles and had some pointed comments this morning on Undisputed. Malcolm Jenkins has fired back at him on Twitter, so I want to bring him on. A 12-year Boise State Cowboys, Chiefs, Eagles, Orlando Scandrick is now joining us in The Herd on a Friday. 12 years, should be noted, a current free agent as well. So let's start with this. You had some opinions about Malcolm Jenkins. I just want to read this, what I can read on the air, Orlando, what I'm allowed to read according to the FCC. Malcolm Jenkins, on your comments this morning, I could give two blanks about people who aren't here. He says, for us to move on as a team, we can't have blank blankers like that in the room. Why do you think why did your comments bother him so much? What did you say and what bothered him?
I think it's a defense mechanism.
You know, pull that mic just a little bit.
I think it's a defense mechanism. I didn't speak anything but the truth. They asked me a question. I think that when you're a leader, you lead. But clearly, my point being proven, everything about that shows you that everything going on outside of that locker room is still bothering them. And if I came in here and I accused you of something and it wasn't true, you'd say it was a lie. I'm not even going to talk about it. But if I struck a nerve, then what would you do?
Defend I would fire yourself. Back.
Yeah.
I said 3 weeks ago about Malcolm Jenkins, who I think, you know, he was a very good player. I said 3 weeks ago to one of the guys on our staff who's a Philadelphia Eagle diehard, Sam, I said, what happened to Malcolm Jenkins?
Selfishness.
What do you mean?
Selfishness. You know, when you have a job to do and you don't do it and you know that it's supposed to be done, what's the other reason that you could have not done it?
You think he's a selfish player?
If I tell you to go take the trash out and you throw more trash away and you don't do it, what's the reasoning for it? Do you not know how to?
Give me a specific example.
You can just look at the Minnesota game. I mean, we're playing half coverage. You know, he's not over the top. We get beat for a 70-yard touchdown by Diggs, and it's just, oh, it's okay, Jinx. You know, it happened. You know, it's okay. You're a good player. You've been a good player. You can do it. It's okay. You know, it's okay to get you 8-8. Some cases, 7-9.
Did you guys struggle to get along initially, or was it something?
I just don't even think I ever had a connection. I mean, I didn't have much of a connection with a lot of people on that team.
Why?
I went to that team because of DeSean Jackson. Like, I love him like a brother. I think I had more of a connection with offensive players than I did defensive players. But I also think there was some defensive players that I did have connections with, like Rasul Douglas, Brandon Graham, Vinny Curry. I don't know. I mean, I've never had a problem with Jinx, but it sounds like he's making it personal now, and, you know.
You think he's a selfish player? And you, by the way.
I think those were selfish acts. I don't know if he's selfish or not. I haven't played with him enough, but I know he is, like, when you start pressing to make plays for yourself, that's a selfish act.
What's wrong with their locker room? Lane Johnson said guys are missing meetings. I love the structure. I like Howie Roseman. I think he's smart. Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz is talented. First thing I look at in sports, mm-hmm. I like the Warriors because I like their GM, their coach, their leader, Steph Curry. I like the organization, but I'm hearing all this, guys don't show up for meetings, guys are late. Was it that bad?
I mean, accountability starts at the top. And then when you got guys, the first thing they do when they get off the practice field is look on Twitter to respond. That's hilarious. That's laughable to me. You know, if it didn't strike a nerve, you just let it pass by.
Why does Carson Wentz get the heat? Is it Carson Wentz?
Carson's a great guy, man. He's a great young quarterback. He works hard. He's continually trying to improve. I think he's going to get better and better with time and reps.
But why do I always hear, quote, some guys preferred Nick Foles, some guys don't like him? Who are the some guys?
I don't know. Ask Malcolm. He got all the answers.
So you guys have, this is a real thing. You're not a fan of his. He's not a fan of you. That's okay.
I mean, but my thing is I didn't commit any selfish acts when I was there. I was completely selfless through the whole, like, time in camp. Like, I've been a part of an organization. I've been the captain of a defense before. You know, I haven't won a Super Bowl. He's won two Super Bowls. And, you know, so I kind of took a back seat. You know, I did everything above and beyond that was asked of me. I just think that that's a different kind of place.
Do you think they released you because of this relationship?
Who knows? I don't put nothing past Malcolm. I think they released Zach Brown because Malcolm had something to say with it. I think that, you know, you always try to find a reason or somewhere you can get better instead of just looking yourself in the mirror and saying, you know what, we're going to get through this. I'm going to start with myself and not get on other people.
Do you think they can turn it around, or do you think these are – do you think the chemistry's lost, that it's become a selfish locker room?
I wouldn't say a selfish locker room. I think there are some people that are selfish, but do I think they can turn it around? I mean, the schedule's not getting any easier, and nobody feels bad for you. And I'm going to go with the theory of, you know, 90% of the world doesn't care about your problems. In other 10%, they're happy you have them.
It's interesting because I want to talk about two other stops. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys you played for years.
First-class organization.
First of all, what was your relationship with Jerry Jones?
Man, it was fantastic. You know, I didn't get a chance to speak to him directly. I did get to speak to Charlotte Jones-Anderson.
She's great.
I got to speak to Steven. One of the largest regrets I have in my sports career is asking to be released from the Dallas Cowboys.
You made a mistake.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. I think that I just thought in my mind that maybe it was time to move on. Maybe the grass was greener when, you know, in reality, the grass was green there. It was great, and I probably should have stayed.
Jason Garrett gets a lot of heat.
Every other week, my man JG is going to get fired, but he just comes to work. He doesn't let outside noise bother him. He controls the message of his team. He's a great leader. He's always, you know, thinking positive, and he's a great coach. I mean, I think he's the most underrated coach in football.
Do players respect him?
I think they do.
He's not a barker. He's not a yeller.
But he does, though, when it comes down to it. I think he doesn't do it publicly. He's not out to take shots at people in the media, and he doesn't do this whole bickering and anonymous source thing. And, you know, even when they're winning, it's good. And when they're losing, you don't hear people saying, oh, there's an anonymous source saying that Dak's struggling. There's an anonymous source saying that Zeke shouldn't have held out. And I just think they got the right formula up there.
We talk about Dak Prescott. I believe when you pay a quarterback, just the quarterback, 25% of the salary is about, is he a grown-up? Can I build my franchise around him? It's one of the reasons I've been very critical of Baker Mayfield. It's one of the reasons I like Deshaun Watson, that I like Dak. I don't think Dak's a natural Aaron Rodgers, Favre, Russell Wilson. But there's something about Dak. He feels like a man's man. He is an adult. Did you like him?
I loved him. He was a leader. He's been a leader since the first day I met him. I mean, he's a natural born leader. He's the first person in the building. He's the last person out. And I think Dak deserves to get paid whatever it is that he's going to get paid.
Was there ever guys in the locker room that were concerned that he's not the magical arm? He's not Deshaun Watson, the athlete. Are there some concerns about that?
No, Dak came in a very, very unique situation. Dak came in with Kellen Moore being Kellen Moore's backup and Kellen breaking his ankle. And Tony Romo hurting himself in the preseason. And here goes Dak from third string to first string. His demeanor never changed. He continued to work. He handled success great. He doesn't do bad things off the field. He's not in the headlines in the media. He just goes and works. He just progresses. He's getting better week to week.
Wentz looks like a better talent. Dak wins more. You've played with both. If you had,
I would pose the question to you: what makes Wentz a better talent? Is it because he's a little bit taller? Is it because he's a little bit stronger? Or what makes him a better talent? Or what has Carson done that Dak hasn't?
Productivity, Dak's going to win the argument. I think as arm angle, size, I think Wentz is a bigger, stronger, better arm, more arm angles, talent. But you have to win, and Wentz is not winning as much as Nick Foles.
I think Dak's got all of that, but the offensive scheme kind of held him back at the beginning. I think they brought him along slow. Great offensive line, great running game. They relied on play action a lot. Now, let's move forward. Now they're last weekend, they did pretty much whatever they wanted to. They dropped back pass. He changed plays, play action. He kept it. He brings a dynamic that is very special from a quarterback perspective.
Now, you were also last year on a Chiefs team that got to the AFC Championship. It's interesting because I have a lot of admiration for Andy Reid, but it was a defense that struggled. But I want to ask you, 12-year veteran, you faced that New England team leading up to that game. You played them twice last year, I think. I always love to ask players, smart players. They've had two dynasties, right? They had what is the special sauce for that?
The New England Patriots, they do what they do extremely well, and they take away what you do and make you play left-handed. They can beat a man-to-man team 1 week, and they can be a zone team the next week. They can be a running team 1 week, and they can be a passing team the next week. They have very, very smart players, and they have very great coaching.
Yeah, a lot of veteran players on this defense. This defense is pretty good, right? You see it. You like the secondary, I imagine?
Yes, they're very good.
Yeah. I want to go back to the Philadelphia Eagles because, you know, obviously you're being critical.
I'm being honest. I'm not attacking anybody personally. I'm just speaking the facts. There was blown coverages. There was missed tackles.
You don't think it's an individual to blame?
No. And that's not what I want on Undisputed to say, that it was Malcolm Jenkins' fault or Carson Wentz's fault or Lane Johnson's fault, because I didn't criticize anybody from a personal perspective. I just said that there were some people on their team that were not producing. Malcolm Jenkins is the captain. He's been on that team for what? 6 years? When LeBron James doesn't produce on the Lakers, the world's falling.
Yeah, Malcolm's not had a great year. Do you think – it's football. Guys get injured. Guys are not in the right –
I don't think that he's injured. I mean, he might tell you that he's injured. Who knows what he'll tell you? He might say it's my fault. He might say, oh, now we got him out. Now we're going to get this magic sauce and we're going to turn it around and we're going to win the rest of our games.
If Philadelphia goes to Buffalo, it's ugly, they lose again. Do you believe there's just too much noise, Orlando? There's just too many distractions, it's over?
No, I never think that it's over, but I think that when your mind is in the wrong place and you're focusing on outside influences, you're already defeated.
That Twitter thing's weird to me. Practice is over, they run to their phones.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, yeah, we don't need people like that here, because that's why I didn't stay in the deep half, or oh, yeah, we don't need people like that here. That's why I got ran over.
Did the Chiefs or Cowboys go to their phones?
No, but I never had any ill will towards anybody in Kansas City. I thought that was a great organization. Andy Reid's a great leader. And then Dallas, that's just like family to me. And even when I did leave there, and even when I played there this past weekend and I was released on Monday, I got nothing but texts and support from all of those guys. And I love those guys, and they're like my family, and they will be forever.
Okay. It's just... you think you kind of struck a nerve, because it sounds like you love Kansas City, you love Dallas, and you like most of Philly.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're honest and you're open, people accept it. Like, people want to pinpoint it as bitter, but I'm not. I haven't said anything that was a lie. I haven't came up here and lied about anything. I didn't use this platform to come and lie. I could have used my social media to make up lies if that was the case.
You're still a free agent. Do you want to play?
I think I want to settle into TV. I think I like, you know, just watching the game from a different perspective, but you never know.
12 years, Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
Still have your health.
Yeah, great yeah. health.
Yeah, it's interesting that you acknowledge that you probably made a mistake with Dallas. That happens all the time. You leave relationships, you look back and you're like, grass is greener. You were a younger player.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time.
No, I didn't probably make a mistake. I made a mistake.
No, you admit it.
Yes.
It's nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Orlando Scandrick was a member of the Eagles. He got cut Monday. He went on Undisputed and criticized the team. Malcolm Jenkins fired back, dropped some, you know, F-bomb stuff. And then Orlando came back in our show about 45 minutes ago and said, you know, he's selfish. Malcolm Jenkins is a selfish player. The locker room's got guys checking Twitter right after practice. They're a bunch of selfish guys. And this is a big problem. Orlando Scandrick said, I should have never left Dallas. I love Dallas. What I liked about Orlando Scandrick, he admitted, I made a huge mistake leaving the Cowboys. Jerry Jones was great to me. Jason Garrett and Dak, I made a huge mistake. So he came out. And by the way, Orlando, he said he liked Philadelphia. He liked Carson Wentz. He connected with a lot of offensive guys. But he came out and basically said the locker room's selfish. What's funny about that, it's everybody's talking about. It's all over the internet today. Well, excuse me. But isn't that what Lane Johnson, currently in the Eagles locker room, said a week ago? Guys are missing meetings. We're not a unit. All Orlando Scandrick said is what a current Eagle said 7 to 10 days ago. Why are you getting upset? You are underachieving. People don't like the truth. Lane Johnson came out. I wouldn't have done what Lane Johnson did, but he came out and we said we're selfish. Guys are missing assignments. Guys are missing practice. So Orlando Scandrick gets cut, says guys are late, guys are selfish. Everybody's like, that is outrageous. One of your current players said that. Joy Taylor's joining me. You know, and so Orlando came on the show and he basically said, people, when you say something that's truthful, people get very defensive. Malcolm Jenkins on Twitter fired back at us and Orlando Scandrick and got very defensive. And, you know, he said, this is what I said about, you know, Westbrook last night got defensive about he and Harden. When stuff lands and it hits, people get defensive about it.
And yet you're still riding with them.
I am this week. I like Philadelphia. One more week.
One more week.
No, listen, everybody's got an ex, and she ruined your credit, and she poured bleach in your plants, and none of your friends liked her, but she looks at you, you had special connections, and you give her one more shot. I'm giving the Eagles one more shot.
How does that generally work out with that ex? It's usually the turnaround week?
Not great, statistically.
I mean, I think what we learned, what we've kind of all felt like we've seen with the Eagles is that there's clearly an issue. Like, there is a problem. They're underachieving. Wentz is supposed to be on a whole other level. Like, even the conversation we had about Dak. You really can't have that conversation right now. Like, even with the struggles the Cowboys have had this year.
No.